WXCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden says he wants to triple U.S. tariffs on steel from China. The president planning to make the announcement today before the United Steelworkers in Pennsylvania. A Boeing whistleblower is due on Capitol Hill this morning. He's expected to make serious safety allegations about two of Boeing's planes, the 787 Dreamliner and the Boeing 777. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson fighting a move to take the gavel away from him as he proposes splitting the foreign aid package into four separate bills. ABC's Rachel Scott's at the Capitol.
Johnson says he still wants to have votes on these bills by the end of the week, but no one here on Capitol Hill has seen any of the details of this legislation, and he could soon be faced with this very stark reality that he may need the support of Democrats to not only save his job, but to push that foreign aid across the finish line.
Democrats in Arizona trying again today to repeal the 1864 law there that bans abortion in every case except save the life of the mother. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's embattled top elections administrator just won two national awards for keeping elections safe and accurate. Megan Wolf is the administrator of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. This week, she won the American Society for Public Administration's National Public Service Award. Back in March, the Election Verification Network gave Wolf its Public Service Award. About a dozen states are rolling back their child labor laws, and lawmakers in Wisconsin are trying to do the same. Labor leaders are pushing against it.
It's important for kids to get a good work ethic, but at the same time, these kids need to make sure that they are getting enough sleep, that they are able to participate in their school, and really making sure that that balance is there.
Stephanie Bloomingdale is president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland County Board of Supervisors has a new chair. The board held its reorganizational meeting last night. The first item members had to take care of was to vote on a chair and vice chair. David Turk was elected chair and Steve Williamson was elected vice chair. The board then elected a committee on committees to meet tonight to select who will serve on what committees. Those elected members were Marty Brewer, Ingrid Glassbrenner, Carrie Severson, Bob Frank, and Ken Renish. The committee on committees will go through the forms tonight to assign supervisors to the various committees. School shootings have a traumatic effect on the entire school community and can cause long-term harm to youth mental health and well-being. Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health reports children who survive shootings have twice as many pain disorders, are 68% more likely to have a psychiatric diagnosis, and are 144% as likely to develop a substance use disorder than those who did not experience a shooting. And that's what you need to know.
The Brewers lose again at home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers lost to the Padres 6-3. The crew got off to a bad start. Starting pitcher Wade Miley hit in the knee with a line drive by Manny Machado, top of the first inning on Bally Sports.
Ground ball off of Miley. Bowers picks it up. He'll tag out Machado. But now your concern is Wade Miley.
That's the absolute last thing the Brewers need to see. Ball hit hard, got him right on the leg.
108 off the bat.
Miley stayed in the game through three innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
How about that? You know what I mean? Stick in there after getting drilled. It's not fractured, which is good, but it's going to be good and sore.
It's the first series loss of the season for the Brewers. NBA, the Bucks getting ready for the Pacers on Sunday. Damian Lillard unable to practice yesterday after playing in Orlando.
We want him to be as close to 100% as possible if you can be that at this point.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and windy with scattered showers and isolated thundershowers today. Our high 63 this afternoon. The wind south to west 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers with a high near 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Matt and Air on Air.
Welcoming Arizona to the 1860s. Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law. Physicians are now on notice that all abortions, except those necessary to save a woman's life, are illegal. When do we decide she is sick enough or close enough to death that I need to do this procedure to save her life? None of that is codified.
Matt and Air on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next show, I'm joined by Hundreds of Beavers director Mike Cheslick, Mrs. Roper's Romp fundraiser organizer Megan Bruckshen, and Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory director Justin Superstar.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. News from the Center, WRCE.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. Hey, good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. New introduction, I guess, a new civic media system.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'll tell you something. Dr. Craig, there's so much going on at the legislature, and so we're gonna deal, I guess, mainly with all the different cases and things that are going on the state level. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear a case on Wednesday that pits Democratic Governor Tony Evers against the Republican-controlled legislature in a fight that could have a broad impact on how state government functions. The case marks the latest power struggle between the legislature and Evers, who has issued more vetoes than any other Wisconsin governor. And I guess what this amounts to, Dr. Craig, is, you know, Governor Evers argues the legislative's power budget writing, powerful budget writing joint finance committee controlled 12-4 by Republicans is exceeding its constitutional lawmaking authority and acting as a fourth branch of government as it relates to conservation projects. Are you familiar with that discussion and that debate that's going on?
So is this the case, Earl, that's talking about his veto power and the alleged 400 years of education spending?
No, this is about the conservation projects.
And they're two different ones.
Yeah, I said there's so many different things that are going on the state level right now that we're going to be talking about. But right now we're talking, this one is the conservation.
Well, this is kind of not only a classic left-right divide, the conservation one, and we're talking about regulation of forever chemicals, PFAS, and things like that. And it's also at the federal level with this out-of-control right-wing U.S. Supreme Court. The right-wing position is that administrative agencies that should have no discretion to protect people whatsoever were involved with the science, which is actually the way they were structured originally. You put a lot of scientists and access to research in, and you have an agency that can figure out how to protect public safety, so all citizens, our children, from poisoning, essentially, for profit, because that's what pollution is. It's putting a cost on us so you can be more profitable. And of course, as the kind of bearers of corporate power and corporate interests, the Republicans want to remove that authority, not so because they actually, though they raise various alleged concerns about the facts, because they won't regulate these things themselves. The legislature doesn't function well enough to actually pass legislation every time a new danger is detected and science develops. And so I think this really is a threat to the functioning of democracy. There are all sorts of ways for legislatures to rein in an out-of-control agency, if that were in fact the case. In fact, I think there's a much bigger problem with agencies being captured by corporate interests than them being rogue, runaway attackers of corporate interests. But it's just even having a scientific approach that actually considers public safety and doesn't allow people to profit by poisoning people, as is historically the case, lead paint, lead pipes. I could go on and on about all, and just all the fossil fuel burning and extraction that is still causing massive amounts of death just because of air pollution, let alone climate change.
So, Dr. Craig, the legislature's attorney argue in court filings that Evers is seeking a fundamental shift in the state's governmental structure. If the court sides with Evers, then numerous other functions of the Budget Committee, the State Building Commission, and other legislative committees would also be unconstitutional, the GOP's attorneys contend. So they're trying to take away some of the power.
And they
gave to the governor when Scott Walker was the governor.
Oh, right. They started. The whole thing has been, we have the legislature, you have the governor, we're going to take power away from the governor, starting with the infamous lame duck session, which when Walker infamously signed bills to remove powers he had from the person who would be replacing him, Tony Evers. I mean, we could get into all these factual things about each chemical and the history of pollution. You are still allowed to poison people for profit, despite the science. And I'll just put it this way, Earl, and for all of your listeners, and I think your even Republican listeners will, this is an argument that you should consider. The messaging just stays the same no matter who it is. Is Governor Evers a rogue person who is trying to change constitutional structures, who is wildly anti-corporate and anti-business, and just wants to put all sorts of meaningless, needless regulations in there for no reason? Or is this characterization of him just, you know, deluded and just... we just call everything what people hate and accuse someone like Governor Evers of it, where the problem with Governor Evers is not overboldness, it's lack of boldness, in my view.
So Dr. Craig, here he is. He offers $125 million to address the forever chemicals, which would certainly make a difference in the people of the state of Wisconsin who live in areas where this is an issue. It's not Governor Evers who is saying no to it. It's the Republicans. What is their rationale for that, Dr. Craig?
Who pays for their campaigns? The polluters, right? The developers.
Yeah, but the people themselves, I guess they don't realize that. Maybe Dr. Craig, that's the issue. They don't know.
This is the threat to democracy in a microcosm of it. They muddy the waters, complicate it, try to make it look for their own audience like a rogue governor doing needless regulations that are going to harm business, harm growth, reduce jobs. None of that's true. That's propaganda talking points in order to serve the interest of polluters. I just want to say it is fundamentally unethical to profit by killing people. And we have all sorts of fancy ways to de-emotionalize it, make it look like an ideological or a scientific difference. That's not what it's about. What Governor Evers tried to do on PFAS, he's just taking a few of the most established PFAS, not all of them, and they are poisoning our water. PFAS are in all of us. With none of our consent, you want to talk about individual freedom, what consent did we give these corporations to place these dangerous chemicals in our bodies and risk that our health, the health of our children, our families, our mothers and our aunts and uncles, that and nieces and nephews, that's what they're doing. I mean, what's a violation of freedom? Their freedom to pollute and to put it downstream and have us suffer the consequences, or our freedom to be free from these sort of dangers imposed on us by others.
You know, Dr. Craig, that this issue is so clear-cut that there shouldn't be any pushback from especially the citizens from the state of Wisconsin. The only thing that could possibly be, Dr. Craig, is they're not educated. They're not aware of what this is. And they're listening to people who have flummoxed them into believing that the corporations are doing the right thing. I mean, what other rationale could it be, Dr. Craig?
I mean, our representative democracy, an idea in the late 18th century that was thought maybe impossible, right? Maybe crazy to even try. And what's occurred in all other representative democracies has never been the public has the time and inclination to understand policy in depth, nor is it easy to do. The information is made more difficult by all the pollution of our communication in this in all societies. And so they've always relied upon their group. Like, in other words, I'm part of this party or this ethnicity and the leaders of it, what they're telling me is authentic and legitimate. What happens when one of the major parties in this country no longer relies on truth at all and will say anything to get its way? What happens is people who feel part of that group identity, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican, will take their word for it. And you know what? They're being lied to. And what we need to do is, because all Americans hate being duped, is to understand what the grift is. It's a grift.
You know, Dr. Craig, you talked about the poisoning of their children, of their families, you know, of all of these people are being poisoned. They don't know it. They're not aware of it. It's heartbreaking. And yet the people who represent them, they know this, Dr. Craig, and knowingly trust these people. That they're going to do the right thing. And it is heartbreaking, Dr. Craig, because as you stated, they're more connected to this is I'm a Republican, I'm a conservative, and I got to stick with this. But Dr. Craig, if they really understood the impact of what we're talking about, and they just don't, Dr. Craig, and that's the heartbreaking part of it. We try to bring that information, but we don't have a big enough megaphone to reach people and get them to understand what's taking place.
I think I always believe in looking in ourselves to see our responsibility, right? I think our side, Earl, present company excluded, of course, has not been clear enough about this and the way it cuts through. So it just seems even to voters who are available for persuasion, like, I don't know, it's all murky, it's all complicated, it looks like just another partisan fight. And so, by the way, the other side also is built in the idea that that democracy and government's illegitimate. So they just, oh, more politicians fighting, nothing for me to pay attention to. I think it's our side needs to be much more clear and crystal clear about this and who's doing it and who they're doing it to and what the consequences.
Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you, don't, you know, hang up. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll come right to you.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turn 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde. His businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower health care costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Spinning wheel spin. You got no money and you got no home. Spinning wheel all alone. Talking about your troubles and you never learn. Ride a painted pony, let the spinning wheel turn.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, Texas. At that same number, it's Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action is on the docket. Before we go to the phone lines, Dr. Craig, a case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court could reshape state government. Here's what to know. The state's highest court is taking up a lawsuit today that could remove powers from the Republican-controlled legislature, reshaping state government. Wisconsin Supreme Court justices will hear arguments Wednesday, today, in a lawsuit filed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers against Republican lawmakers who lead powerful committees challenging the panel's power to block policies put forward by the governor. Let's go to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Well, this is just this PFAS deal is just another example of our wonderfully gerrymandering, incredibly arrogant Republican legislature. These guys have this my way or the highway attitude that we're going to do what we're going to do, and we don't care if we've got a Democratic governor. A Republican governor will just sign anything we want them to, but our Democratic governor, we're going to figure out ways to get around him. It is, I think I've read something that there are dozens, if not hundreds, of appointments that Governor Evers has made and that this legislature hasn't even bothered to look at. They also essentially stripped the, I believe it was the DNR board of Democratic appointees. And they're doing everything possible as they can to fight the governor who's trying to do what he can do to help Wisconsinites. These guys are unbelievably arrogant. They've been gerrymandered in for so long, they think there's no consequences. I'm really hopeful at this next election when we have some reasonably redesigned districts that a whole bunch of these guys will be out of a job, at least in state government. I'm sure that their buddies, whom they've kowtowed to for now 14 years in Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and various other similar organizations, I'm sure that they'll get even higher paying jobs from these guys. But at least they won't be trying to make our laws, and they won't be trying to obstruct the work that Governor Evers is trying to do.
Hey, Jack, thank you. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Jack?
Jack is right. It's a power grab, and there's nothing philosophical about it. It is not like, oh, we think the legislative branch and you are supreme and should make all decisions. It might actually have to pass laws and make decisions then. It's if they have the executive, a governor or a president, they're for that branch having all power. And if the legislature and not the executive, it's the other way around. So they strengthened Governor Walker's power when we had a Republican governor. Now they want to weaken a Democratic governor. If it reverses with the new maps eventually, where there's a Democratic legislature and a Republican governor, believe you me, they will be the on the other side of this. And but what they've done is, since they're accusing, as Earl, you pointed out, Governor Evers of being a rogue governor who's trying to change our constitutional framework. In fact, they're doing that because this is unprecedented. The legislature is mostly not confirming the governor's appointees when the tradition has been, if they're not unqualified or corrupt, you confirm people who are in accordance with the governor, who is elected by all the people, and what he is trying, he or she is trying to do. And what they do is they make them all acting, and then they can fire them at any time. And they've been, they're therefore going and firing governor cabinet appointees who they disagree with. And that they don't have we don't have a system where you're supposed to be in accord with a legislature of the other party. So it just, what it does is it means it grounds down decision makings, destroys faith in democracy because it doesn't work. Our government can't actually function, as Jack pointed out. And then as you pointed out, Earl, Governor Evers is sued over there. They're also claiming the right to veto administrative rules that have been within the purview of administrative agencies under Democrat Republican governors for decades.
You know, Dr. Craig, you've been around long enough. You remember when we had clean government, or as close to clean.
Cleaner.
As it could be. And but we've seen, and nobody who's followed any of this, Dr. Craig, can point to the Democrats and say, you guys destroyed what we once had. Not knowingly, it is clear who's made these changes. We remember when it took place, Dr. Craig, and even when Tommy Thompson was governor, it wasn't like this. I mean, under Tommy Thompson's leadership, there still was bipartisan conversations and relationships, and you could, and the government could function. So it was after Governor Thompson, that we started seeing these cracks that were developing. And so I don't know how we get back, Dr. Craig, except for you always say by winning elections. It's the only way. Is that right?
Well, yes, that is the only way. And it has changed in our 40-year history, which I've studied, our organization, CIS National Wisconsin, we're in our 40th year. There were a number of instances in the 80s and 90s where the organization ran large campaigns, public campaigns that forced Governor Thompson to sign things he didn't want to sign and looked like he had, you know, eaten a bad piece of fish, but he signed them because he actually listened to popular pressure. And that's not the current brand of Republican, right? So Tommy wasn't on the right side naturally, but he would respond to Democratic pressure. Things like the labeling of bovine growth hormone and infected milk, putting steroids in milk, things like the Crandon mine, things like that. And that wouldn't happen with these folks. Look at the unprecedented protests over Act 10, and they just stood firm. And so, but their goal, Earl, is to discredit government so they can take all the money and give it to people who've already made it in our society. And so when they break it, it's to their advantage. And then they want to turn around and say, Governor Evers, you can't run the unemployment system because you have, and therefore we should vote you out of office, when you don't fund it and the legislature is doing complete obstruction on any changes and reforms of it, well, then it's going to break.
All right, 844-967-2789. You've entered into the Dr. Craig Hour on the Earl Ingram Show.
All your troubles.
from the center, WRCE.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Four people with disabilities are suing for easier voting in Wisconsin. The group wants the Wisconsin Elections Commission to let them vote electronically. Wisconsin doesn't allow it, but 13 other states do. Electronic absentee voting for Wisconsin residents is only for military or overseas voters. Governor Evers says people dealing with PFAS in their water for years are tired of politics. Evers scolded Republicans yesterday for not coming to a special meeting of the Joint Finance Committee to approve $125 million for PFAS cleanup.
More people are going to suffer in the state of Wisconsin, and that's a huge mistake on their part. Huge mistake.
Republicans say Evers should have signed the PFAS bill they sent him this spring instead of vetoing it. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland County Board of Supervisors has a new chair. The board held its reorganizational meeting last night. The first item members had to take on was to vote on a chair and vice chair. David Turk was elected chair and Steve Williamson was elected vice chair. Richland School District 7th and 8th grade students participated in their first science fair. Lacey Albaugh and Evelyn Ramsden won first place for their project on algae growth in different environments. The Wisconsin Supreme Court may take up an abortion rights case. The court Tuesday ordered parties named in a petition from Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin to file responses within the next 10 days. That's an indication that the court, with its 4-3 liberal majority, may consider the abortion provider's petition to recognize a constitutional right to bodily autonomy, which would include abortion. Attorney General Josh Call announced a new partnership with the U.S. Department of Transportation to review and resolve consumer complaints against airlines and ticket agents.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Like father, like sons, James McCartney and Sean Ono Lennon are making music together. The sons of the famous Beatles collaborated on a song called Primrose Hill. The guys both have solo careers that have seen modest success. Paul McCartney recently shared the new song on his social media. Both men come from homes with famous fathers and loving but tone-deaf mothers. Pamela Anderson will join Liam Neeson in the reboot of Paramount's Naked Gun. Anderson might seem like a strange addition to this satirical comedy, but she has chops. She poked fun at herself in the 2017 Baywatch film and was also in Scary Movie 3. And Liam Neeson, of course, always has a wisecrack just before blowing a bad guy who threatened his family's brains out. The untitled project from Paramount is expected to be completed in time for a June 18th, 2025 release. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and windy with scattered showers and isolated thundershowers today. Our high 63 this afternoon. The wind south to west 15 to 25, gusting to 35. Tonight, partly cloudy, 44. Tomorrow, cloudy, scattered showers with a high near 56. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 56.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next show, I'm joined by Hundreds of Beavers director Mike Cheslick, Mrs. Roper's Romp fundraiser organizer Megan Bruckshin, and Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory director Justin Superstar.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights 7 till 9.
back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, there's so many things going on at the state level before we go back to the phone lines. For Wisconsin voters with disabilities who cannot read or mark ballots independently, are suing the State Elections Commission in order to vote secretly by receiving and returning absentee ballots electronically. The four voters, in conjunction with the Disabilities Rights Wisconsin and the liberal-leaning League of Women Voters, filed a lawsuit in Dane County. I don't know why they had to say liberal-leaning voters. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Circuit Court Tuesday that argues that their right to a secret ballot has been disenfranchised because each are unable to receive and mark ballots independently. Dr. Craig, it just is amazing what these people have done and what they won't do to disenfranchise people. They have no moral compass to tell disabled people, Dr. Craig, and just try to prevent them from voting. Come on, man.
We've talked about this, and you know, I agree with you, Earl, to call the League of Women Voters liberal-leaning is a bit misleading. Historically, they have been great defenders of democracy, and one party is against democracy now. Does that make them a partisan anyway, or leaning to a certain ideology, or Republicans left? Used to be a lot of Republican activist members of the League of Women Voters over the years. They walked away. It's not the other way around. Though a lot of folks who are now uncomfortable with the party who are independents or Republicans are still part of the League of Women Voters. But anyway, we've talked about how they've decided they can't win power through majorities, and therefore they want to win to legitimize minority rule, and they want to reduce the amount of voting of people they think will vote against them. So people could ask, or more likely to, people could ask, well, who could be against disabled people voting, right? And I'm going to say something that the very nonpartisan groups filing the lawsuit won't say. Well, the research actually shows that people with disabilities rely a whole lot on government, on public services, in order to live independent lives.
Absolutely correct.
Of home care services, various services to help you with your, for all the different levels of physical and mental disability in order to cope and to live and to do what everyone else can do. And so they do tend to vote more Democratic. And so this lawsuit is very smart because we already have electronic voting for veterans overseas. So we already have a system. We can have electronic voting. Absentee. The only reason you wouldn't do it for disabled people, who, my goodness, it's a major burden for a lot of these folks,
yes,
to get to a poll or even find a witness, to a qualified witness to witness the paper absentee ballot, which is also just another needless layer designed to make it harder. And what they want to say, remember, is that if the witness writes the wrong zip code or leaves it off, that you can throw out the person's franchise, their ballot, which is outrageous. It's very easy for any address to look up the zip code, okay? And so this is part of their conspiracy. And yes, they're willing to deny the right to vote to disabled people and make it harder for them to vote, right, just in order to get power. Now, what does that tell you about them, about who they are and what they're willing to do to get their way? And what the people who fund them and are behind them, the people who stand behind the curtain, the largest corporations in this state and the wealthiest people in this state, what their ethics are, that they're willing to get their way, get the tax cuts they want, the deregulation, the not regulating PFAS and other things they want by means of disenfranchising people who, quite frankly, are disabled people are some of the most honorable, ethical people in this state because they work their tails off to live independent and fulfilling lives and to have everything that people without disabilities have in our society.
You know, that's so well said, Dr. Craig. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. What say you? Let's go back to Tom from L.A. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Dr. Craig, I have a question for you. One of my biggest grievances is the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour news, whether it's national or even with civic media in terms of the news that's there, because it seems to me that the Republicans always get their talking points done even through the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour news. And that's sometimes all people will hear throughout the whole day. The other day on civic media news, I heard them say, they had to make it both sides. So they had to say it. And the Republicans said if Governor Evers would have just passed their bill, last year, that there wouldn't be any problems. Again, they always get the microphone. They always get the propaganda to their side. And I want to know what you think about that. I don't know if you've ever listened to the top of the hour or the bottom of the hour news stuff, but it's either that or it's Donald Trump won and then they play his little speech. Oh, and Joe Biden won his primary and they don't say anything. So I want to know what you think about that and what we can do, to somehow put the pressure on people to change the way that this news is actually given at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour news.
Hey, Tom, thank you for the call.
Tom, it's a great point, and I think I mentioned it last week, perhaps, Earl, for our podcast at CIS Nash Wisconsin, Battleground Wisconsin, which we do weekly. I interviewed Ann Nelson, one of the top experts on how the right-wing conspiracy of billionaires and other, and the anti-abortion folks and the NRA folks, et cetera, built the kind of power in the media they have to dominate. And she points out that on the basic broad Democrat coalition, we actually want to hear both sides. And so we're duty bound to hear, give them the opportunity to respond and make their point. What happens when they don't really make an argument, they just come up with propaganda talking points that confuse, right? And that's what you're hearing, but that's what they're being given when they ask conservative organizations, business leaders, Republican politicians to respond. And on their side, in their media, they don't have alternative voices. They're against them, right? They used to. Fox News used to be a little different. It used to like the gladiatorial thing, yes, where the liberal was brought on to attack, be attacked. And I was on Sean Hannity twice during the TAC 10 uprising, so I've seen the bull charge. By the way, you get better at what to do with your tape the second time. But I did some of the lesser Fox hosts too that are not as well known as Hannity, but they don't even do that anymore. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so that is the way their right-wing radio is. I mean, Earl, are there a lot of alternative voices on WISN? I
absolutely
know you track
not.
Right-wing radio.
Absolutely not.
So I think the answer to Tom that we need to think about is, some mainstream media has begun to say, okay, we can't just transmit every Trump lie because then we're that, like, the election is stolen without saying this is debunked, this is disproven. We probably need to broaden that net, and media has to have that legitimate media, the guts to say, there is no evidence of this, or this has not been established, because you're getting something at a lower level of, it's not as bad as saying that the January 6th rioters were heroes and are hostages, former President Trump does, but it's in that direction, and it's what we would call gaslighting. It's lying to people deliberately and dramatically in order to harm them.
Let's go back to the phone lines. And Gene from McClure, good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Oh, outstanding show today. And again, I think it's with the words that matter. And it's significant because, they've spent a lot of time making the word liberal sound like a really deviant thing and all these liberal things. Instead of using, like, maybe words like progressive or democratic, you don't see them use those words anymore. And they've associated with liberalism with a lot of different negative connotation. And they've been doing it for about 10 years. In addition to that, I want to make a comment about people with disabilities or people who are older that are lucky to stay in their homes and are working to stay in their homes because they can't afford, like, some people have to pay $7,000 a month in some of the places that they're living in for care. And those people, to get that person, a witness, a lot of them don't even know their neighbors, can't get people to come over to sign their ballot. I know of some already. And then a lot of people who are disabled have been disabled sometimes due to those big money investors in the Republican Party to get rid of their regulations, to get rid of consumer protections. And I just want to lay that one on the line because those people definitely know what Republicanism stands for, and they're worse now than they ever were before. So I wanted to throw those two things out. Thank you very much, guys. This is so great. Thank you.
Hey, bye. Thank you. Thank you, Gene, as always. Dr. Craig?
I agree totally, and I'll just articulate this principle, and this is in the state constitution in Wisconsin. There are only a couple elements of the constitution, such as being incarcerated, that take away your right to vote. A fair interpretation of the Wisconsin Constitution is that no other interference with the right to vote, the sacred right to franchise, should be allowed unless it is needed for the integrity of elections. Now, they've lied about that, right? They claim drop boxes are more of a threat. They're actually safer than mail, for example. They've said we need these witnesses and that they need to write their zip code. There is no evidence of this. And so really, if you believe in democracy, you only believe in making it harder to vote as a way to safeguard the vote and make sure it legitimately represents the will of the people. And they're not doing that. Photo ID was completely not evidence-based, all made up there, because there is no, virtually no, identity theft voter fraud. And that's the only thing that would stop. Why did they do it? Because it would really disenfranchise low-income people and people of color and elderly people who don't have an ID, and then they made it very hard to get one. It's not like there are DOT centers right around every corner, within easy distance to every person. And so I think we need to uphold that standard, that it is outrageous and un-American to make it harder to vote for a purpose of power rather than a purpose of actually protecting the sanctity of the election.
You know,
and they've lied about that, and their base believes them because that's their group, that the people they listen to.
You know, Dr. Craig, I want to ask you about Justice Anne Walsh Bradley and the fact that she is going to resign. She's just not going to run again. And I just wonder, you know, it's easy for us to say. It's to run a campaign. I don't think anybody would have beaten her anyway if she would have run. Excuse me. But to run a campaign is a lot of work. 73 years of age. And nobody can blame her for wanting and saying, I've had enough. But after the battle that went on for the Democrats to take control over the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court, to put that back, you know, where it is in limbo. I want to talk with you about that on the other side. Your thoughts, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Most of us agree that every Wisconsinite deserves affordable health care. California mega millionaire Eric Hovde does not. Hovde said he would repeal the Affordable Care Act, quote, in its entirety. What? The Affordable Care Act protects people from insurance companies refusing coverage for pre-existing conditions and stops them from dropping your coverage if you get sick. If Eric Hovde got his way, millions of Americans could get hit with increases in their healthcare premiums of 20% or more. Millions more could lose coverage altogether. Hovde even spoke out against parents helping their kids by keeping them on their health insurance plans until they turn 26. Now that might be okay for Eric Hovde, his business
businesses have raked in millions of dollars in handouts. But it doesn't cut it for hardworking Wisconsinites and our families. Call Eric Hubde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him we support lower healthcare costs. Paid for by Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, I want to ask you, you know, the battle that went on, and we've been talking for the bulk of this hour about things that Republicans have done and the challenges that are underway, you know, with that Supreme Court to address really issues that can Republicans have really done damage to ordinary people in this state by that same Supreme Court. And now, after Judge Bradley, who's a wonderful woman, has now decided to not run again, it throws this thing up in the air again, Dr. Craig. I mean, you know, she could have run again, stepped aside, and Governor Evers would have appointed a, you know, replacement. That could have been done. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know what her calculations were. You're right. If she was playing like the Republicans, who yes. only, in the national level, who only resign at a time when the Republicans can appoint their replacement and then try to hang in there forever if there's a Democrat president. She could have resigned a little later, but maybe she didn't. Maybe she believes in democracy and didn't think that was ethical, or maybe there's something else going on.
Dr. Craig, I think that's probably it, right? I really think that's probably it.
Getting up there, so it may have been more urgent for her not to continue serving. Yeah, candidates. I can't name candidates on the, you know, it's all a farce that's nonpartisan. Everyone ends up knowing who is the candidate that aligns with Democrats and Republicans. But I talked for an hour to a leading candidate yesterday who called me. So it's ongoing. I think there will be strong candidates on the progressive side. And the conventional wisdom, and he will not be calling me, is that former Attorney General Schimmel, Brad Schimmel, will be the Republican. And he probably has better campaign skills than a Dan Kelly or a former Justice Gableman, and so is more dangerous. It'll be a big high-money race again next spring, coming soon, and it will be about abortion again. It will be about fair maps again, because they'll reverse the fair maps. And so on. So I think that that we're going to have a rerun of the last time where Janet Protasiewicz runs, except we'll have different candidates and we'll have ridiculous issues raised. The person I was talking to was a judge, current judge, and I was talking to them and asking, what cases have you done that they're going to distort and put on TV? And they were telling me, and you know what? The judge did a very good job as judge, but yeah, they're going to lie about it and put it on TV and claim something else, because that there's no ethics left to how we actually try to contend for these races. It's say whatever we want to say, and in attorney general races and Supreme Court races, Earl, the question is not whether each candidate will be accused of helping child molesters. The only mystery is how they'll make the claim, how they'll connect those dots. So that's absurd. What kind of democracy is that?
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, do you think that the Democrats will be tapped out? I mean, this is a presidential election this year, and the amount of money that is going to require, and then to somehow come back in the election for Protege, which $56 million was spent between her and the guy who ran against her. Do you think money is going to be an issue, especially after the Democratic primary? I mean, the presidential election.
Probably not. There seems to be an endless source of money on both sides. I think the one caveat I would have is, if for some reason the powers that be that move money, and that's neither you or me or all,
right.
don't like the candidate and think that they're likely to lose, they don't fit the profile. So there's a problem there. There's a wealth primary, is a term that's been developed in our campaign finance system, before the public gets to vote. And if you don't see much money for the quote-unquote Democratic candidate, you know that the money people decided they weren't a good investment.
You know, Dr. Craig, you say that, and I know you're not being cynical. And that's the heartbreaking part of all of it, right? That you have to say those things before an election. Half the people in the nation don't vote because they sense that things like this are occurring and taking place. And yet we know that these things are taking place. And Dr. Craig, it does make it hard to recruit people and get people to vote to change things, right? When you have to, make those kind of statements.
Well, yes, and your redirect since we're thinking about trials now and
right.
Trump all the time, right? Your redirect, Earl, is critical point, because the other side wants to discredit government so that government can be ineffective and can be defunded and they can take the resources and be deregulated. We risk, like I just did, in being too plain about the situation, causing folks who are with us to walk away and throw their hands up. And a lot of young voters of color are feeling that. They're sick of the promises. They want access to a better life.
Yes.
They want to be able to go to college without crippling debt.
Yes.
They want to be able to get jobs without going to college that they can raise a family on.
They want the American dream. They want the American dream.
Yeah. And so we can't say, when President Biden says, I gave the child tax credit, paid family leave, I tried to forgive $20,000 in student debt, and they wouldn't let me, that doesn't actually land. They're like, well, you're president. You can't
right.
do it. Why should I do anything for you? And so we need to give them hope. And I would just say, in that Supreme Court race last spring, I know it was a big money thing, but the race was on abortion and MAPS. The public is very adamantly for abortion rights and for fairer MAPS. And so the candidate that supported the public position won. But despite it all, democracy can triumph. And we
got to leave it there, Dr. Craig. Great talking to you as always. Thank you, Calvin. Thank everybody who made this show go. Up next, Jane Mattner, Mattner on Air, and Greg Bach. Dr. Craig, I'll see you next Wednesday.
From the center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next show, I'm joined by Hundreds of Beavers director Mike Cheslick, Mrs. Roper's Romp fundraiser organizer Megan Bruckshin, and Mom and Dad's Nipple Factory director Justin Superstar.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.